Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, an unintentionally very special edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Normally, there's a good news, bad news, and crazy martini for conservatives. Today, Jim, just set them up and fill them up. It's all crazy. One, two, and three. Some days, you just can't imagine what headlines you're going to wake up to. And today, we've got three of them, so why try to fit them into good and bad? They're just all crazy. Let's start in South Carolina, where
I recommend, this is one of those editions which we recommend you actually have three martinis while listening to this podcast, because by the end of it, we're all going to need them.
Yeah, you're going to need it to get through this day and perhaps just the next 10 to 15 minutes. But let's start in South Carolina. And Jim, it was actually in Iowa a couple of weeks ago where, after a disappointing, I think it was at that point, fifth place finish, Rick Perry had this to say, which most people thought there was only one way to interpret.
But with the voters' decision tonight in Iowa, I've decided to return to Texas, assess the results of tonight's caucus, determine whether there is a path forward for myself in this race.
Every rational person, Jim, assumed that was his way of saying, I'm done with this, I'm going to bow out, I really thought I had a good chance, it didn't pan out. The next morning, he says, absolutely not, I'm on my way to South Carolina, we're still in this thing to win it. There was even rumblings this week that regardless of what would happen in South Carolina, he was in it to win it, even in Florida. Not so much, though. Today, Rick Perry bowing out in South Carolina and endorsing Newt Gingrich.
As I've contemplated the future of this campaign, I have come to the conclusion that there is no viable path forward for me in this 2012 campaign. Therefore, today, I am suspending my campaign and endorsing Newt Gingrich for President of the United States. I believe Newt is a conservative visionary who can transform our country.
Jim, you know, we talked about at the time that it was weird that he was getting out that early. Why wouldn't you try South Carolina? So that's what he did. And now he's dropping out before South Carolina anyway. I guess he just hates Mitt Romney that much?
That's a very good question. I mean, on the one hand, the recent polls had him at 5 or 6%, and so things did not look great for him. On the other hand, I just have my hard time getting my head around this. The governor of Texas is dropping out 2 days before the South Carolina primary, the first primary in the South. You figure South Carolina would be the most, you know, friendly territory for him in these opening primaries, and it's not happening. And so I suppose he's entitled to do this. I kind of wish he'd stayed in. If he knew he was going to do this, I wish he'd stayed in for tonight's debate just to give everybody hell, just to let it out, you know, crack open a Shiner Bock and just kind of let out exactly what he thought the whole time and close with, you can all go to hell and I will go to Texas. But not. Apparently the word is he's going to endorse Newt Gingrich, considering that Newt wrote a foreword to one of his books. I suppose that all makes sense. But just kind of bizarre to see this happening now. You know, apparently, like, they're going to shift the number of podiums on the debate stage tonight. Probably this will help Gingrich some. Having said that, there was not a lot of, you know, like that 4 or 5% of Perry in South Carolina now has to look at for where the support is. The fact that Perry did not win the nomination is not all that surprising. The timing is more surprising. It's one of your typical stories of, you know, doing badly in Iowa, thinking about dropping out, not dropping out, going to New Hampshire, choosing not to compete in New Hampshire, then running for 2 weeks in South Carolina before quitting 2 days before the primary. You know, everybody has that kind of strategy.
Well, maybe it's just trying to provide a little extra job security, because some of those folks are going to need it. And you had an interesting point on your Twitter feed today, Jim. Are all the people that jumped Newt's ship to go work for Rick Perry going to come slinking back to Newt now that he seems to be the main challenger to Romney in South Carolina? That's a decent question, I guess.
I guess the thing is, if they all need jobs, they should probably go to Texas.
That's where they seem to be created. And I guess another industry that's going to be hard hit now, podium makers. There used to be 8 on stage. Now there's only 4.
Reduced demand, yes.
Yes, indeed. So Iowa, we're not done with you yet, even though we mentioned Rick Perry in connection with Iowa. Today, the official recertification of the Iowa caucus vote. A couple weeks ago, Mitt Romney beat Rick Santorum by 8. Yes, count them, 8 votes in the Iowa caucuses. Then they don't really do an official recount. They do a recertification. Turns out Rick Santorum won by 34 votes. But there's still 8 precincts that are not counted, and they won't be counted. So we're just going to call it a statistical dead heat, and everybody just pretend that there's 2 winners. Jim, I know you've had lovely things to say about the Iowa caucus process before. I'm sure this is just the cherry on top of the sundae.
This sounds like something out of a Christopher Buckley novel or something. Because you think about, like it's bad enough. Oh, it's so close, et cetera. And, you know, we joke about the Mitt Romney landslide. They revert, you know, first of all, they come out and say, oh, remember we told you Mitt Romney won? Never mind. No. But then they say, but we can't really tell you that because, like, if you had one yokel in one precinct who accidentally immolated the ballots or something like that, something, you know, really, you could see it. But eight precincts? How do you lose eight precincts worth of votes? Many people do not like Iowa. The fact that the field is now down to four after two contests is making it only going to enhance the resentment there. But I'm going to, you know, just say, Greg, that if we're going to have two states with an unbelievable set amount of power in and saying who the Republican nominee is, shouldn't both of them know how to count, Greg? Isn't that, you know, kind of basic? I mean, at this point, Iowa is just guessing, you know. I mean, you think they're feeling behind closed doors, they rolled the dice and just said, okay, came up number five, so Santorum won. So this is just bizarre. And if there was not already a serious push to have Iowa no longer be the first state in this process, I think this should just drive a stake into the heart of it, the idea that this is something noble and special about this state. No, they can't even count the votes. That's enough. The only good news here, Greg, is that no problems in New Hampshire that we know of. South Carolina looks okay. And then we go to Florida. You know, that's always a good state.
Oh, yeah. They never have voting irregularities or controversies there. How would you like to be, you know, Rick Santorum, 99 counties? Turns out you won. You can't get a bump really out of it because it was 2 weeks ago and people pretty much considered you the surprise factor anyway. But, you know, he spends 99 counties in Iowa. Other people like Rick Perry spend millions of dollars. And ultimately the answer is, I don't really know who won.
Congratulations, we think. Yes. We're pretty sure. Good job, you know. Yeah. We won by like something like 34 votes, maybe more, maybe less. Who knows?
Exactly. Okay, last crazy topic. Last couple days we had Newt in the bad martini because he was saying everybody else should get out. And the other day he was in the good martini for his response to Juan Williams. And we said yesterday jokingly, I wonder what martini Newt will have on the next day. Yeah, he's the crazy martini number three and blows all the others out of the water because here's the guy who's trying to kick every other conservative out of the race to be the conservative alternative to Mitt Romney. ABC News is about to run an interview with his second wife, Marianne, in which she claims Newt told her on a phone call while he was in bed with his mistress, you need to share me.
I said to him, Newt, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do. He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage. I'm not really sure the Perry endorsement's going to drown this one out, Jim. If Newt was looking for headlines, he got them.
You know, the irony is that we're not even sure this is like one of the three biggest stories of the day. I'll put it in there and I'll just observe. My understanding is in the latest polls, Newt is just surging amongst men. So maybe this is not, you know, some guys will say, oh, I can see the appeal of that. I mean, there are all kinds of good slogan possibilities that come out of this. Open government, open markets, open marriages. You know, the idea of, you know, we need a candidate who can appeal to swing votes and swinger voters. You know, there's all kinds of ways you can look at this. We'll see what happens. There's a part of me that suspects Gingrich will not dignify this with a reply. When the story was, you know, breaking last night on Drudge that ABC had this interview and it was not going to, you know, be particularly flattering to Newt, there's a part of me that kind of rolled my eyes and said, you know, there are a lot of people who have divorces. A lot of people have bitter divorces. People's ex-spouses generally do not think terribly well of them, and I thought this had kind of been priced in. Nobody is voting for Newt Gingrich because they think he's such a swell husband. Now I'm not so sure. We'll have to see how this plays out. It's kind of interesting that, as we said, there's four or five big stories breaking at the same time. I think that it'll be interesting to see how the Gingrich campaign responds to this, if at all. It'll be a unusual issue that most candidates have not had to deal with in the past.
That's putting it mildly, and this could obviously have a huge ramification. Rick Santorum's upset that he didn't win Iowa, Perry getting out, and Gingrich involved in a major sex scandal that we sort of already knew about but didn't know this aspect of it. He might actually be the beneficiary of all this, so we'll see. Jim, some days you just can't explain. This was one of them. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I hope everyone likes our break of traditional format, and we may have three good martinis, three bad martinis, or if at this pace, you know, four or five crazy martinis in future editions. We may just be upping the craziness as the primary heats up.
It's certainly not out of the question. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.